Thanks to Indeed for supporting the Productivity Show. You can trust Indeed as a hiring partner because they want the same thing you do, finding quality candidates. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Offer is valid through March 31st. Thanks also to Truebill for supporting the podcast. From forgotten free trials to automatic renewals, when big companies keep charging you, Truebill is your secret weapon to save you money on subscriptions you don't need. Go right now to Truebill.com/TPS. It can save you thousands a year.
Welcome to the Productivity Show, a podcast where we believe that you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. Hello, my name is Tam Pham. I'm the founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And today I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Brooks Duncan, the COO of Asian Efficiency. How are you today, Brooks?
I'm great. This morning, Tan and I were talking in Slack about hockey, or ice hockey, as many people call it. So that is definitely a first thing. Being Canadian, that made me very happy. I never thought I'd have a conversation with Tan about hockey. So there we go. My day is going great because of that.
Yeah, I went to my first ever NHL game, and I went to the game where apparently there was a big star playing, Connor McDavid, which I have never heard of, but apparently he's like the GOAT of the NHL, or becoming the GOAT. So I was fortunate to be able to see him live. And today's episode, as we're going to start diving into the content here, is all about how to kind of keep the momentum going at the end of the month. So I know many of you who are listening right now, it's, you know, towards the end of the first month of 2022. A lot of times around this time, people kind of lose motivation, they kind of lose momentum. Usually by the time February 1st rolls around, half the gym memberships are already canceled. People are not showing up anymore. So we don't want you to be part of that statistic. So if you have New Year's resolutions or you have goals set up for yourself, you can go, hey, I could use some momentum or keep the momentum going. I think you're going to be enjoying today's episode quite a bit. So if you've always struggled with accomplishing your goals, I think you're going to be learning a lot here today. And if you have found yourself in the past, you know, hitting February and March and you go, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I can keep this going. I think some of the tips and tricks here are going to be very helpful to you as well. And maybe you're someone who is not really a goal setting person at all, but you want to make sure you always follow through on the things you set your mind and intention to. There's going to be some stuff here covering that here as well. So you can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/388. And as always, we like to kick things off with our favorite resources as of lately. And Brooks, I know you have a bunch of them here. So would you mind sharing them?
All right. Yeah. So my first resource is an app called Just Timers. Now, Just Timers is an iOS app that lets you create multiple reusable timers. I mean, pretty much every operating system, mobile operating system, has a timer built in. But what this lets you do is pre-create a bunch of timers that you can use. So, for example, I have a reading timer and some different types of timers, and you can just use them. And the thing I like about it, and the reason I like it, is because it works with automations. So if you're somebody who applies automations to your phone using shortcuts, Just Timers works really well with that. A similar Android app is called Multi Timer Stopwatch. So if you're somebody who finds yourself setting a lot of timers at the same time every time, definitely give those apps a try. So that's number one. Number two is called Clarity.fm, and this is a service we've used here at AE quite a few times. And what this lets you do is get quick business advice calls. So chances are, like Tan always says, there's always somebody out there who has solved the problem that you're trying to solve. And so what this lets you do is, if you're trying to figure out, I don't know, some problem in your business or probably your life too, you can find the person. Just maybe book like a 15-minute call, ask your specific question, get really specific answers from experts, and then go on your way. It just saves so much time. So Clarity.fm, that's number two. And number three is a book. And full disclosure, I haven't actually read this book myself. It's on my list to read soon, but it's called Work Clean, The Life-Changing Power of Mise en Place to Organize Your Life, Work, and Mind by Dan Sharmus. And I wanted to recommend this because Sarah Ann in our productivity community really recommended it, and a lot of people have read it as well and like it a lot. It basically applies the concept of mise en place, which is a cooking thing where you get everything ready for what you're going to do and applies it to productivity in life and stuff like that. So I've heard it's a very good book. So I wanted to throw that in as one of my top three resources as well. Now, we always like to tease our next episode coming up and give a heads up about that. I'm actually really looking forward to this episode. Tan, you'll be talking to Brittany Dixon from Brittany & Co. She also has a podcast called Process for Profit, and it's all about how to live a balanced life, how to work with your business stuff, productivity. A lot of great tips in that one from what I hear. I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm actually looking forward to hearing that as well. So we're going to be talking about how to keep momentum going, and we always like to talk on the podcast about the three main levers of productivity, which is the T framework: time, energy, and attention. You can learn more about that at theproductivityshow.com/T. We're going to be talking about momentum today. And I like to think of momentum as really being impacting your energy and attention. It's really easy to get distracted by the things that are right in front of you instead of the things you should be focusing on. So that is the attention piece. And then energy can be a really surprising momentum killer. We don't really think about it this way, but if you don't have the energy to do something, it won't happen. That's how I think of the T framework and when it comes to momentum. But we have three tips actually to keep your momentum going. And we're going to be going through them one by one as usual. So Tan, why don't you start us off with tip number one?
So tip number one is to try to do something every single day, no matter how small. And I'm a big believer of this concept. And we had our team training not too long ago where I talked about this concept, because oftentimes when we procrastinate and we wait till the end of, let's say, the deadline, maybe 24 hours leading up to it, and then we force ourselves to do it, oftentimes we either procrastinate even further and we just kind of skip it altogether, especially if it's something that's not that urgent, right? If we set an artificial deadline for ourselves to do something like that, that typically happens quite often. And so I want to inspire people to say, hey, instead of doing things at the very last minute, why don't we do this earlier on and do something every single day so that it becomes almost habitual to work on something, whether it's a project or a goal or a deadline that you have coming up? And I truly believe that this makes for better products, for better quality, for better things that you want to create. Because oftentimes, if you do something so last minute, if you ever need like a resource or you run into a roadblock, instead of really getting the best outputs that you're looking for, you're oftentimes will seek for shortcuts because you just don't have time to get it done in time, right? So for me, it's always just better to work on something, no matter how small it might be, every single day, and keep the momentum going that way, rather than saying, hey, I'm gonna, you know, build up that quote unquote momentum up to the last 24 hours and then work on that. That's kind of like the opposite of momentum, right? It's like, yes, we can do this whole buildup, but it's oftentimes very stressful. It takes up a lot of mind share. We're thinking about it all the time. Sometimes it holds us back from like sleeping properly. So I would encourage everyone that's listening right now, if you find yourself oftentimes waiting till the last minute, flip that around and say, what can you do every single day, no matter how small, and implement that so that if you have to do something last minute anyway, it's actually not that big of an issue.
Yeah. And the thing about this is that this doing it a little bit every day is really big for quality. Like Tan said, like you're going to get a better result, even if you kind of get there at the end. Either way, you're generally going to have a better result if you do a little bit every day. But also it avoids the thing you're trying to do dropping off. You know, it's such a momentum killer when you kind of don't work on something for a little bit and then you just get out of the habit and then it disappears. It just totally kills your momentum. So if you're doing just a little bit every day, that keeps that momentum going. And you know, you might be busy with other priorities, right? You might not have a lot of time to spend on those things that you want to do, that you want to keep momentum on. You might not even be able to spare a whole time block, like an hour time block, a half hour time block, or whatever it is. You might be so slammed, you might not even have the time to spare that. That's okay, but like Tan was saying, just try to do something, no matter how small, to just keep that momentum up. It could be like just creating a blank Google Doc and adding maybe some headings and subheadings. You'll work on the rest later, but it's just taking that small little step. Or it could be, you know, just going for a walk around the office building. You don't even go around the block necessarily, just around the building, or go for around the block, or go, you know, walk to Starbucks instead of drive, something like that. It could be just something really, really small like that. It could be connecting with somebody via WhatsApp instead of calling them on the train home or something like that. Maybe you don't have time to like keep connections with people by phoning them, but maybe just like a little message here and there telling somebody that they're thinking of them. Just these small little things can just keep your momentum going. And then it's like warm from when you are ready to spend time on them. So I really recommend, like Tan said, to just try and find, no matter how small it is, try and keep that momentum going.
I like to think of it as like piecing a puzzle together. If you have 1,000 pieces and your quote unquote goal is to finish the whole puzzle, it might be very overwhelming to say, you know what, there's 1,000 pieces here. There's just no way I'm going to get this done. Right. So, you know, we've always talked about breaking stuff down even to its smallest components so that we make it really easy for ourselves to get started. Right. It's the same thing here. If you're trying to finish a puzzle, instead of waiting till the end, maybe let's say you're saying to yourself, you know what, I want to get this done before the end of the month. If you wait, you know, 2 days leading up to finishing up the deadline, you know, chances are it's going to be very tough and stressful, right? But the opposite approach of maybe let's just put one piece every single time I walk by the puzzle that's on the table, that is much easier then, because now every time you walk by, you might say, oh, you know, let me just find one more piece and put it there. And then you take a break, you go do something else. Maybe you finish a work call or something and you finish and wrap that up. And then you go back to the table and you say, hey, let me find one more piece, and you add that in. And guess what? Now, by every single time doing one little thing, it makes it so much easier to finish the puzzle. And once you have the momentum, you'll start to see the puzzle kind of coming together, and you see a vision becoming closer and closer to what it is supposed to look like. And the same thing is true with our goals in our personal life. If we can do something every single day, no matter how small, that vision becomes more clear, and we can kind of see that we're getting closer, and that feels a lot more encouraging, and we have that momentum, right? And if we keep that going, we are just way more motivated to keep going and have like that streak that we might have or not to keep that alive, right? So for some of you, if you keep the whole streaking idea in place, you might say, hey, you know, maybe I'll mark it off on my calendar every single day, right? And then once you see like a 5-day streak happening, you go, oh, actually, you know what? This is actually quite motivating. Let me keep that going, right? And I know actually this friend of mine, she started running or exercising every single day. And she kind of keeps track of it through her Apple Watch. And you can kind of close those rings. And I know people who have an Apple Watch will resonate with that. And if you exercise every day, it will close a particular ring, right, that you see on screen. And so now she has like a ring every single day. And like 6 months in, it's still there. And she now doesn't want to lose that streak. So now it's even more motivating to keep something going every single day for her. So now she even wakes up at 4 a.m. to get her running in before she goes to work. Just because she wants to have that streak going. So it's really, really powerful.
Phil in the live stream along with this episode says the jigsaw puzzle is a good analogy. And I bring that up because if you are interested in joining the live stream as we record these episodes, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/plus and learn more about TPS Plus, which is our special upgraded version of the Productivity Show. You get episodes a week early. We love our advertisers, but if you'd rather listen to it without ads and support the show directly, you can get ad-free episodes. You also, like I said, can join in the live stream, and you can get the show notes that Tan and I use to record these episodes. Also, if you're interested in the annual plan, which actually is our most popular plan, you get a special exclusive one tweak a week t-shirt that's only available for annual TPS Plus members. So go to theproductivityshow.com/plus if you are interested in learning more about TPS Plus. All right, that is tip number one. Now, tip number two is something that we wanted to mention primarily because I really, really struggle with this, but it's something that is so, so powerful. And that is, don't be afraid to ask for help, especially and even if you hate asking for help. This is like something, like I said, I really, really struggle with, but time after time after time, it's really, really paid off for me. And it's so big to help you keep momentum, because sometimes we hit a roadblock and we just don't have the time time, energy, or attention to figure it out. And then we just end up putting it aside, going to something else, and then you've lost momentum. I know for me, in my corporate days, I had this goal early on to implement a call routing system for our customer service team. Hard to imagine now, but we didn't have one. When a customer would call in for help, literally the way it would work is it would ring everybody's phone, and then just whoever wanted to pick it up would just pick it up. And that was our call routing system. Obviously, that's not very scalable, not very helpful for customers. So I wanted to change it, but I had no idea how to do this. I spent a little bit of time, but I kept getting annoyed. I'd hit roadblocks. I'd always have something more urgent, so I'd kind of put it aside. And then after we were acquired, I was mentioning this to one of my new colleagues from the company that we merged with, and they just said, oh, we have a system, you know, here, let me talk to this person and get you hooked up. And then we got it done so, so quickly. And if I hadn't asked them about it, if I hadn't brought it up, you know, who knows, we'd still maybe have been answering phones the old school way. So that was a lesson for me that I've tried to learn over and over again, to really just ask people for help, because other people are like a cheat code to help you get where you want to go. You know, they might have advice to help you get unstuck, like I had. They might have encouragement and support. You might feel a little down about something, or just getting that encouraging support can really help push you forward and give you momentum. They could introduce you to resources that you might not have even heard of. Like Tan says, that someone else is always done what it is you're trying to do. So it's just a matter of finding that person and asking for help. You're successful in business because you love doing the research, whether it's the state of the market or your next right hire. But when you're low on hours and you still want to do a great job on hiring, who do you go to for help? Well, it's time for Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. So instead of spending hours on multiple job sites, going all over the place, hoping to find the candidates with the right skills, you need just one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process. You can find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, for example, as soon as you sponsor a post, like right away, you get a shortlist of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. I've done a lot of hiring. If you've hired, you know that you can sometimes just get a flood of candidates back. But unfortunately, most of them aren't even close to right for the job. It's so frustrating. I love Indeed's tools because they cut all of that out and help you focus on just the qualified candidates. Indeed makes it so easy to hire great talent. According to ComScore, Indeed is the number one job site worldwide. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all of the other job sites combined. So join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Offer is valid through March 31st. Go to Indeed.com/TPS to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. That's Indeed.com/TPS. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The other day, I noticed a subscription to a major national newspaper, I won't mention which one, hitting our credit card statement. I guess someone in my family did the trial to read the article, who knows, maybe it was me, and that trial is now being charged to our bank statement every single month. This stuff is so annoying, but thankfully Truebill can do the work for you to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year, that's a lot, with Truebill. Companies intentionally make subscriptions hard to cancel, so Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts, and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions with one tap. And your Truebill concierge is right there to help you when you need them. They'll do the work to cancel your unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped them save over $100 million. An example is Matthew B., who says, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill, I saved $120 a year on my SiriusXM bill, and I saved $840 a year on car insurance. It's funny, I was listening to a podcast just yesterday, and that podcast is not sponsored by Truebill, and they were sharing their favorite apps of the year. It was like one of those end-of-year roundups, and one of the hosts mentioned Truebill as his favorite app of the year because it had saved him hundreds of dollars. I thought that was pretty cool and pretty timely. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at truebill.com/TPS. Go right now, truebill.com/TPS. It can save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/TPS.
That's why I'm a big believer in the idea that anytime you see your friends, you should always talk about some of the roadblocks or challenges that you run into or resources that you're looking for, because you just never know who knows who's done it before. So anytime I go for a happy hour or have dinner with someone or see them for lunch or we just go for a walk together, I always talk about, hey, this is something I'm working on. This is a challenge that I'm having right now. I don't always explicitly ask to say, hey, do you know someone who could help me with that? By just putting it out there and saying, hey, this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm looking for. That's, you know, something I'm trying to figure out right now. Sometimes they'll go, oh, I actually know someone who has done that. Let me introduce you to that person. And now those connections get made and things get solved so much faster, right? So everyone has like different levels of expertise of different things. And it's hard to be an expert in everything, so you want to focus as much as possible on the things you are, you know, an expert in and are good at, and let someone else who is an expert in something else help you with that. So if you're struggling with your goals right now, who is someone that you can go and seek advice from that has done it before, so that you know that, one, you don't have to figure it out on your own, but also, two, you can get some guidance and coaching and assistance from someone else who knows exactly what you need to do, who has done it before, and can kind of keep the momentum going as well, right? So if you're trying to, for example, lose weight, you want to ask someone who specializes in that somehow, whether it's a nutritionist, whether it's a personal trainer, or someone who has already done it before. It doesn't have to be like a subject matter expert. It could be someone who has already done what you've done before, right? So if someone has lost a lot of weight, you can go to them and say, hey, what have you done or what worked for you? And kind of see if that can maybe help you, or maybe they know a resource and say, hey, I actually work with this nutritionist that helped me, or I work with this personal trainer, and so on, right? Same thing in business. If you're trying to figure out like this call routing system, like Brooks was talking about, yes, you could go on the BBS system or something back in the day, right? Or go in one of the dark chat rooms and go, hey, does anyone know how to do this? Or you could just nowadays, especially now, go to YouTube or something or Google and oftentimes figure it out there, or, even post it on your social media and say, hey, this is a problem or challenging that I'm having. Is there anybody out there that knows how to do this or knows someone that can help me? And you'd be surprised. And asking for help is not a weakness. It's not something that makes you look bad or makes you look weak. If anything, it makes you a lot more approachable and accessible, and it allows people to help you. And a lot of people want to help you, whether you realize that or not. But we just sometimes make it difficult for others to help us. So don't be afraid to ask for help.
Fun fact about me, speaking of BBSs, I used to run a Star Trek The Next Generation themed BBS way back in the day. I had phone lines going into my house, and it was really popular where I grew up. So there you go. something we're all learning together. Yeah, but there's always somebody else, like you said, that's done what you're trying to do. It could be like a colleague or someone else in your organization. It could be a friend or family member. It could be somebody that you have an accountability partner in a mastermind. Could be someone in a BBS, like you said, or a forum, Facebook group, Discord, other online community like our Productivity Academy. Another way to look at it too is it could be your boss or your manager, right? A lot of times what we hear from people is they say, you know, I just don't know what I should prioritize. You know, my boss gives me all these different things, different departments ask me to do different things. Well, your boss or manager can help you sort out priorities. That's part of their jobs. We're often just afraid to ask, but it's okay to go to your boss and manager. I mean, depending on your boss and manager, obviously, but it's okay to go to them and say, hey, you know, what should my priorities be between all these conflicting things? And that can be really, really helpful for getting you unstuck. All right. So that is tip number two. Don't be afraid to ask for help, even if you hate asking for help. Tip number three is to focus on the gain, not the gap. And this is really, really helpful for momentum, both keeping momentum and regaining momentum as well. An example that popped to mind recently is we've talked about this on the podcast. I've been going to Orange Theory for about a year now. Orange Theory is a gym, for those who don't know. And one thing they do really well is they have these what are called benchmarks. And so it's like, how fast can you go row 200 meters? How fast can you row 500 meters? How far can you run in 12 minutes? Like, it's all these different benchmarks. And sometimes when you're doing things, it can be hard to know how you are improving, or you can always see people that are maybe at a higher level than you, and it can be a little discouraging for some people. And one nice thing about these benchmarks is you can see, like, 6 months ago, you run a certain amount in 12 minutes, and now when you do it again, you can see how much you improved. And focusing on the improvement part of things, the gain between where you were and where you are now, can be really, really motivating, even if there's other things that might be distracting you. So I've become a big believer in this focusing on the gain and not the gap. And so when you have a goal, when you have something that you want to get to, it's so easy to focus on what's left to do. You know, you talked about weight loss. It can be really depressing to focus on how many pounds you have left to lose. Or if you're working on a big project, it can be just overwhelming thinking about all the stuff there is left to do. Or if you're trying to learn a new hobby, it can be really frustrating to not be able to do what you want to be able to do or what you can see others able to do. So the trick we want to give you is to flip it around, focus on how far you've come since you started, and take encouragement and momentum for that. So, you know, focus on the milestones you've completed in the project, not the 8 months left to go. Or if you're into woodworking, I'm just saying this because my son's in a woodworking class at school right now, you know, focus on that birdhouse that you've been able to make, not the table you want to make someday, right? I recently read this article by Mel Robbins, who wrote The 5 Second Rule and other books, and she cited a study. I haven't actually been able to find a link to that study. If I can find it, I'll throw it in the show notes. But what the study said is that you actually get more motivation or momentum from focusing on the smaller of two numbers. So the example that I was thinking about is if you're trying to declutter your filing cabinet, right? You want to scan, shred, all that sort of stuff. What you want to do is focus on the smaller of two numbers. So if you've only organized one or two drawers, just think of that in focus on those one or two drawers that you've done versus thinking about the four you have left to do. But then once you've accomplished four of them, you've got four drawers done, then focus on the two you have left to do. So if you're always focusing on the smaller of the two numbers, it can really help you with motivation and momentum, because even small successes can be a really, really big motivator.
I have found often that growth can be invisible. And if we don't make it visible, then it's hard to keep the momentum going. So to give you an example of this, if I asked you, hey, Brooks, do you feel like you have grown a lot this past year? Now, you could take it literally and say, well, let me measure in, you know, feet or inches or centimeters if you've actually grown, right? That's like a literal version of that. But also another version of that is figuratively to say, hey, have you grown in knowledge and expertise or in skills and so on? And that can be sometimes invisible, where you might not be able to tell right away if you actually have grown a lot in that area, right? So this is where other things come in really handy, where you start to make things more visible. So an example of this is to say, well, one, something we've talked about on podcasts quite often is journaling. So when you journal, it doesn't even have to be every day, but if you do it every few days or once a week even, then if you go through your journals of the past year and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was thinking this 6 months ago, how I could never do X, Y, and Z. And guess what? Now I'm actually doing it, right? But now you can see the inner conversations you're having or that you have with yourself and see how much you've grown since then, right? So now we're focusing on the gain, not the gap necessarily. And so even though you might have a lot of things left to do, you can see and look back and say, wow, like I've actually accomplished a lot of things since then. So this is where a journal is really helpful. Even if, you know, something like fitness is very obvious, right? Because oftentimes it's very numerical, like weight loss is very much a numbers thing, right? You can measure your waist and, you know, your bicep size and stuff like that. Like there's all these things you can measure. But there's a lot of things in life that we can't measure or just not very obvious. And so when it comes to, for example, your skill level or your assessment of like how much you know or like how many books you've read or your knowledge in particular areas, like sometimes that can be a little bit more, you know, confusing. So you want to start thinking about like, what can I do to make the gain more visible? So to give you some examples, what if you looked at your Instagram or your Facebook accounts and see like what kind of photos you've posted over the last few years, right? And maybe it was reminding you that, hey, actually this past year has been really good because I actually did travel quite a bit, or I was able to go to places or do, you know, X, Y, and Z, or complete or start certain projects that I hadn't done before, like journals, like I mentioned, anything that you make a note of quite frequently. So even if you look at your Apple Notes right now or your OneNote, and you look at all the notes of all the things you've written down and all the things you've accomplished since then, you go, wow, like I've actually gained a lot of things that I totally forgot about, right? And so again, we want to make things that are invisible visible as much as possible. And if you can't find a way immediately to make it visible, start thinking about like, what can you do to make things that you want to keep track of visible?
All right. So our three ways to keep momentum going are, number one, to try to do something every day, no matter how small. Number two, don't be afraid to ask for help, even if you hate asking for help. And number three, focus on the gain, not the gap. So we're just near the beginning of a new year. You've got a lot more of time for this year to go. You might have some stuff that are in danger of losing momentum. So Tan, if somebody were to want to make sure that they keep momentum throughout this new year, where do you recommend they start?
Yeah, so we talked about the three tips here. So I would say if you feel like there's one piece missing right now and where you're like, oh, I'm on the cusp of potentially losing momentum here, which one of the three can you implement here today, right? So again, what is something that you can do every single day, no matter how small, right? Another thing is don't be afraid to ask for help, even if you don't particularly like doing that, or start focusing on what you've accomplished, not necessarily what's left remaining, okay? So pick one of those three, whichever resonates most with you, go with that, implement that today, and I know you're going to be better off. Next week's episode is an interview that I did with Brittany Dixon from Brittany & Co. Consulting, where we talk about how to live a balanced life and how you can accomplish a lot of things in business and in life, even if you don't think you can. So it's really exciting, and I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. So I hope to see you next week. And like I mentioned, you can find links to everything that we shared in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/388. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.